Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Revelation, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Revelation 4, verses 1 through 10, and again we'll read this responsively. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you that the same God that Abraham and Isaac and Moses and David served, we get to serve. Thank you that the same Holy Spirit that filled John and Paul and those in the Bible fill us. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May our minds be focused on the preaching of the Word of God. May our hearts be open to the Holy Spirit to do your work in our lives. Please use our preacher, use this message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Earlier we read together Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. In this passage of Scripture, John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is prophesying the rapture of the church. God lets John have a little foretaste of heaven. And the very first thing that John sees when he enters heaven is God's throne. It's said there in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 2, John says, Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. May I say to you, that was the throne of God. And only one has ever sat on that throne, the pure and just one, the King of Kings. Sitting on that throne that John saw was the King of Glory. Sitting on that throne was the altogether lovely one. That throne was a place of authority. That throne was a place of respect. That throne was a place of power. That throne was a place of leadership. That throne was a place of royalty. That throne was a place of superiority. That throne was a place of judgment. That throne was a place of guidance. The throne of God is far greater than any other throne in history. Oh, there have been many thrones, but never has there been a throne as great as that throne. You see, historically, David sat on a throne, according to 2 Samuel 3:10, but David's throne was not as great as the throne of God. We know that Pharaoh sat on a throne, according to Exodus chapter 11, verse number 5, but it was not as great a throne as that throne in heaven. Solomon sat on a throne in 1 Kings 1:46, and Jeroboam sat on a throne in 2 Kings 13:13. Josiah and Joash sat on thrones. Joash sat on a throne in 2 Kings 11:19. Zimri sat on a throne according to 2 Kings chapter 16 verse 11. Ahab, the wicked king, sat on a throne in a wicked way. And that's found in 1 Kings 22 verse 10. Jehoshaphat sat on a throne in 1 Kings 22:10. The sons of Jehu both sat on thrones in 2 Kings chapter 15 verse 12. Joash sat on a throne in 2 Chronicles 23:20. All of those thrones listed in the Bible, none of them compared to the throne that John saw when he went into heaven. None of the kings that sat on those thrones compared to the pure and just one, our God, that sat on that throne that John saw that day in heaven. Notice in our text in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 10, in nine verses, God's throne is mentioned 12 times. That we read earlier in Revelation 4:2, it mentions God's throne twice. In Revelation 4:3, it mentions God's throne once. In Revelation 4:4, it mentions God's throne once. In Revelation 4:5, God's throne is mentioned twice. In Revelation 4:6, the throne is mentioned three times. In 4:9, it's mentioned once. And then in 4:10, it's mentioned two more times. In nine verses, the throne of God is mentioned 12 different times. There have been many, both good and bad, that have sat on thrones in history. None ever has or ever will sit on a throne who is as magnificent as Jesus, the King of Kings, that sits on the throne in heaven. The Bible says in Revelation 4:3, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. What is that? That's telling us how precious our God is that sits on that throne. I have good news for you today. God is still on that throne. God is still on that throne. I today celebrate my 10th anniversary of being the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, an honor of my lifetime. I've got good news for you today, folks. My whole message today, I just want to make a special announcement on this special day, and it's this. I want to announce to the church that God is still on the throne. God is still on his throne today. Hey, listen, when the flood hit Noah and that ark and the family that was with Noah, hey, God was still on his throne during that flood. When Daniel was thrown into a lion's den, God was still on his throne. When Paul and Silas were thrown into jail, God was still on his throne. We know the story of Samson. When Samson's eyes were blinded and he was chained to a grinding mill, betrayed by Delilah, and he was treated like an animal. Hey, while he was chained, God was still on his throne. When the prodigal son ran away from home and God, God was still on his throne. When Hosea's wife Gomer forsook him and broke his heart, God was still on his throne. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow to the government and they were thrown into a burning fiery furnace, all the time they were in that furnace, God was still on his throne. When Paul suffered shipwreck and was bitten by a snake, God was still on his throne. When Job's wealth and his family were all taken and he had to go to a funeral with 10 children in caskets all at one time, while they mourned and their hearts were broken and Job was facing insurmountable heartache, God was still on his throne. When David faced Goliath, who was tormenting the people of God there in that valley, and Goliath had mocked God's people and mocked God's country, when David faced Goliath, God was still on his throne. When John, the beloved, was boiled in oil and then exiled to the forsaken Isle of Patmos, God was still on his throne. When the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt to Pharaoh, hey, they were treated like slaves. They were abused. They were starved, and all were they hurt, and they were treated poorly. Hey, all the time that they were in captivity, there's one thing that I know: God was still on His throne. When that wicked queen named Jezebel sought the death of Elijah and said, "You're going to be dead just like my false prophets that you slew on Mount Carmel." Hey, while Elijah was running for his life, God was still on His throne. When Moses was a baby and the devil was out to make sure that Moses was put to death, because the devil knew that Moses would rise up and become a great leader and lead his people out of captivity. When Moses was just a baby and there was a warrant put out for his death and for his arrest, and they took little Moses and put him in a basket and floated him down the river for safety, when it was all happening, God was still on His throne. When Gideon was outnumbered in that great battle of Gideon's, God was still on His throne. When Joshua faced that monumental battle of Jericho, God was still on His throne. When Queen Esther took a stand that could have cost her life, God was still on His throne. I have good news for you today, folks. God is still on His throne. You say our world's a mess. Okay, but I've got good news. God is still on His throne. You say, what's going to happen in the election? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. God is still on His throne. You say the old time religion seems to be going backwards. It may. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I know one thing for sure. God's not going backwards. It always has been God's throne in heaven. It always will be God's throne in heaven. And no election and no uprising anywhere in the world will ever change the fact, my God, Jehovah God, today sits on the throne and He dominates the universe. God is still on His throne. When Osama bin Laden dared to bomb America, God was still on His throne. On September 11, 2001, when nearly 6,000 American citizens were put to death, and folks, I don't plan on forgetting that. I do not plan on forgetting the evil that caused that day and those events. And I say to you, God is still on His throne. And anybody that doesn't get born again, they'll never see God on that throne. They'll go to a hell that's created for the devil and his angels. And I'm here to tell you, I still believe in the old United States of America. And this still, hey, I'm going to fight for one nation under God. And when I talk about God, I'm talking about Jehovah God. When our economy crashes and we face terrible financial dilemma here in the United States of America, let me remind you, God is still on His throne. When your report from the doctor is not a good one, may I say to you, God is still on His throne. When you lose a loved one to death and they make a transfer to heaven, never forget this, God is still on His throne. When your house payment is due and there's not enough money, God is still on His throne. When someone breaks your heart with a disloyalty and your heart bleeds, the emotional bleeding and the pain that you face, let me remind you, my friend, God is still on His throne. When there seems to be no answer to your problem, I've got good news for you. God is still on His throne. When your teenager is rebelling against you, against the Christian school, against your God, against their upbringing, God is still on the throne. If your wife rebelliously walks out on you and betrays you, God is still on His throne. If your husband lies sick today in the hospital, maybe they predict he'll never come out, God is still on His throne. If your best friend has forsaken you, forsaken God, forsaken your church, God is still on His throne. When all you own is burnt in a fire, God is still on His throne. When somebody steals from you that which they have not earned and they take it from you and leaves you in a poverty situation, God is still on His throne. When your teardrops fall like raindrops, God is still on His throne. When the sun does not shine in your heart like it once did, God is still on His throne. When you're all alone and you feel forsaken by all, and you're never all alone because your God who sits on a throne will set you on His lap. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But when you feel all alone, you remember something. God is still on His throne. When depression grabs you by the throat and seems to choke the very life out of you, God is still on His throne. When your sin seems to steal your victory, you remember something. Hey, sin may have victory over you, but it's never had victory over my God. My God is real. My God is alive. My God is still on His throne. When all seems hopeless, God is still on His throne. What does it mean when I say that God is still on His throne? What does that mean? Well, it means this. It means that God still reigns over the universe. Revelation 19, verse number 6, it says, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Oh, there is no limit to His power, and He is still in charge. What does it mean when we say that God is still on His throne? It means God is still God. That God is still on His throne. What does it mean? It means God is still all-knowing. God is still on His throne. What does it mean? It means God is still all-powerful. And God is still on His throne. What does it mean? It means God is alive and well. God has not taken a vacation on you, my friend. Your God is alive. Your God is well. Your God is on His throne. He still rules the universe. God is still in control. Because God is still on His throne. Did you know that God has not changed? Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, "The same yesterday, today, and forever." Who is that? That's my God. What God? The God that sits on the throne that's in heaven. The very same one that John saw in Revelation chapter 4. John was given a glimpse of what would happen at the rapture, and he stepped into heaven and he said, "Look, I see God on His throne." And folks, there's coming a day when you and I enter heaven, we'll get to see God, the God that's still on His throne. It means that God is still capable when we say God is still on His throne. It means that God is still unstoppable when we say God is still on His throne. It means God is not dead when we say God is still on His throne. It means God is alive and well when we say God is still on His throne. It means God is still in charge when we say God is still on His throne. It means God is still the champion of the universe when we say God is still on His throne. It means God is still the everywhere present one when we say God is still on His throne. He is still the Alpha and the Omega, which means He's the beginning and the end. My God is still on His throne. Today, if you walked into heaven, there would be God on His throne running the universe in total control of what goes on. God, my God, your God, He's still on His throne. So, I say to you this morning, first of all, what does it mean when we say God is still on His throne? It means our God is alive and well. He has no less power today than what He's ever had. God is still in charge. Secondly, may I say to you today, God is still on His throne and His book is still His way. God is still on His throne and His book is still His way. The Bible says in Psalm 89:14, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of Thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before Thy face." You notice there it used the word throne and it mentions the truth of God. What is the truth of God? The truth of God is God's Word. That's God's Word. And here we find out that His throne has something to do with His Word and the truth of His Word. Folks, God's Word is still true. Folks, God's Word is still holy. Why? God is still on His throne. God's Word is still pure and God is still on His throne. God's Word is still just and God is still on His throne. God's Word is not outdated. God is still on His throne. God's Word is still a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You say why? Because God is still on His throne and His Word is as powerful as it's ever been. God took His Word and spoke the universe into existence, and God still has that kind of power today. God's hand is not shortened. He is not slack in His promise to usward. Our God is still alive. Our God is still the God that He has always been, and our God is still on His throne, and His Word is still the ultimate word anywhere in the universe. God's Word is still sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Why? God is still on His throne. God's Word is still our daily bread, and God is still on His throne. God's word is still capable of quenching our eternal thirst, where we might not thirst ever again, because God is still on his throne. God's word is still inspired and preserved and purified by the God that wrote it. And God's word is still God's word, and God is on his throne. So I say to you today, God still reigns. God still reigns. I don't know everybody's problem in this room, but I can tell you this. I know everybody's answer. Turn to the God. You say, what God? The God that sits on the throne. The God that sits on the throne. And God is still on his throne. And his book is still the way for this world. May I say, God is still on his throne. And the old time religion is still his religion. God's word, God is still on his throne, and the old time ways are still God's ways. Listen to this verse. Psalm 93, verse number 2, it says, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting, old. Notice it is being pointed out that as God sits on that throne, God is saying, my throne, it's the old time throne. It's the old time way. You can't improve on God. God still sings, give me that old time religion. God likes it when we sing that song. Hey, God likes it when we sing, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. God likes to hear us sing, give me that old time religion. It was good for Paul and Silas. He likes to hear that. We sing, give me that old time religion, because it will take us all to heaven. And God says, I like that. I like that old time religion. Hey, there's that verse of that song, give me that old time religion. It'll take us all to heaven. It will do when I'm dying. I'll tell you what, if you knew Brother Renner, you know this. You know the old time religion carried him over with a lot of confidence. Herb Renner's in heaven today, and I'll guarantee you, if you had been around him in those last days, you would know that verse, it will do when I'm dying. Hey, it will do when you're dying. God's alive. God's still on his throne. The mercy and the grace of God is available today. I say to you, God is still on his throne. And God's on his throne in regard to the old time religion. I don't care what everybody in the nation is going to do with their churches, and they're going to go the modern way. I plan to stick with the old book and the old time religion. I plan to stick with the old time way. That's just the way it's going to be. Hey, did you know hellfire brimstone preaching is still okay by God? God is still on his throne. Altar calls are still good. Altar calls. God is still on his throne. You say, what's the big deal about an altar call? Because I think people ought to sometimes humble themselves and kneel before God. And I think the old altar was set up by God, and God did it because people needed to come and spend a moment with God and have a holy moment in a holy place in a holy way. Hey, altar calls are going to continue around the old Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You say, why? Because God is still on his throne. Door-to-door soul winning is our way. We're not going to go around taking surveys and asking everybody what they would like in our church. I've already asked someone what they wanted in the church. His name is God. He sits on a throne. We've got our orders from headquarters. We'll just do what God told us to do, but we won't go around the community taking surveys. We'll go house to house and tell people that there is a heaven and that there is a hell, and that Jesus Christ wants them to go to heaven someday, and they need to get born again. It's old-fashioned soul winning. That's what it is. God is still on his throne. God is still for old time gospel music. I think God is for the old time gospel music, not Christian rock and not the contemporary. That's just temporary. Let me tell you something. God still loves Amazing Grace. And God still loves It's Still the Blood. And God still loves What Can Wash Away My Sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What Can Make Me Whole Again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen, we've got to stick with the old time way. You say, why, preacher? Because God is still on his throne. I believe that God told us that marriage is between one man and one woman, and God is still on his throne. I believe that tithing is still God's way of financing the New Testament church, and God is still on his throne. I believe God intended men to be masculine and women to be feminine, and God is still on his throne. I believe abortion is still wrong and sin, and God is still on his throne. You say, but the United States government said it's okay. I've got news for you. The United States government does not sit on the throne in heaven. God does. God does. God is still on His throne. You say, preacher, I feel a bit overwhelmed. I see things coming in on me. I've got good news for you today. I don't feel overwhelmed because you and God make a majority. Our God is alive. Our God is well. And God is still on the throne. Lift your head high, Christian. Don't be ashamed to carry your Bible. Don't be ashamed that you're a New Testament Baptist. Don't you be ashamed of that. You say, why? We're in the majority. God is still on His throne. There's a visitor too. If you don't take a breath, you're going to pass out from lack of oxygen. Relax, you'll be all right. All real preachers used to preach this way. I say to you, God is still on His throne. God is still on His throne. And God is for the old time religion. I say to you, God is still on His throne, and He still answers prayer from that throne. God is still on His throne, and He answers prayer from that throne. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what that's talking about? God is on His throne, and He tells you and I that we can come boldly and kneel at that throne and ask our requests. That's what prayer means. The word prayer means asking. Hey, I'm glad that I've got a God that I can go to and I can ask that He meet my needs. Prayer meetings are not, that's what God wants. You know, let me tell you something, folks. We're never going to exchange prayer meetings for bingo parties around here. It's just not going to happen. God is still on His throne. God still likes the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that takes me from a world of care. God still likes prayer meetings. I like the fact that every Saturday morning you'll find a group of men that spread themselves across this property, get on their faces, and they beg God for the power of God on our church and protection from the devil. And then we don't want to ever stop doing that. Let's keep on going to our knees and believing in prayer. God is still on His throne. God still says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Prayer still changes things. And God is still on His throne. God is still just a prayer away. And His throne is just a prayer away. God still believes that the family that prays together stays together. And God is still on His throne. God is still for family altars and devotions inspired by God. Let me tell you what would help some of you families. If you'd get together and get on your knees and have a season of prayer together. Some of you parents that are having a hard time with your kids. When was the last time you all got on your knees and your children prayed with you? Do you believe the old time religion? We all quote it. The family that prays together stays together. Let me tell you what some of you need to do. Some of you dads need to get a little courage in you and say to the family, today we're all going to get on our knees and we're all going to pray to God. Watch your kids stumble through because it's been such a long time since they believed in prayer. It's pathetic. God is still on His throne. The Bible is still the answer. Prayer is still God's way. And I say to you, God is still on His throne. God is still on His throne. And God is still a God that believes that we can pray and He'll answer. Praying mamas still have a lot of pull with God. I said, praying mamas still have a lot of pull with God. Instead of going and griping at everybody all the time, let me ask you a question, mama. Those of you that are upset with someone because of your kids, tell me how much time you spent in prayer over your child. Some of you spend more time griping about it than you do praying about it. What's happened to praying mamas? What's happened to children having such a respect for their mother because she's so holy that they obey her out of reverence? In all the occurrence of the Bible, God was still on His throne. Everything that happened in the book of Genesis, God was still on His throne. Everything that happened in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, God was still on His throne. Everything that occurred in Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, God was still on His throne. Everything that happened in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, and 2 Kings, God was still on His throne. Everything that happened in 1 and 2 Chronicles and Ezra and Nehemiah, God was still on His throne. Everything that happened in Esther, Job, and Psalms, God was still on His throne. Every occurrence of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, God was still on His throne. Every event of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel, God was still on His throne. Every event of Daniel and Hosea and Joel and Amos, God was still on His throne. God was not left out of Obadiah and Jonah and Micah and Nahum. No, God was still on His throne in Habakkuk and Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Our God was on His throne. Every event, every occurrence, every story in the Bible. He was there for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was on His throne in Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He was on His throne while Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians was being written. He was there for 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He was there for 1st and 2nd Timothy. God was on His throne through the book of Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and James. God was on His throne for 1st and 2nd Peter, and 1st John, and 2nd John, and 3rd John, and Jude. Hey, and the verse that brought us to this realization today, you get to Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, when God called the Christians out of here, called the rapture, John walked into heaven and he said, look what I see! God is still on His throne all the way in the end time when God rises up and fights the Antichrist and blood is to the horse's bridle on the day of Armageddon. I've got news for you. My God! My God! My God will still be on His throne. I didn't drink decaffeinated coffee this morning. God is still on His throne. God is still on His throne. And those that are in heaven, they clearly see Him. Oh, isn't that fantastic? Psalm 89, verse number 29. The Bible says, His seed also will I make to endure forever. And His throne as the days of heaven. Oh, there we find out. Those that have been born again will endure forever. Endure forever, and there's a throne in heaven that makes sure of it. If you're born again, and those that are born again and they pass on, they go to heaven. You say, what's the first thing they see? I've got a hunch. Mrs. Renner, I've got a hunch. The first thing your hubby seen was God on His throne. You see, we believe by faith that God is still on His throne. They see by sight. There's a few people this morning as I preach this message, they've gotten excited. And it's good for some of you to get excited about something other than a baseball game. It's good if some of you talked about much about Jesus as you do politics, because the answer is not in the White House, the answer is in the church house. If preachers would get back to preaching the old time gospel the right way, we could turn a nation around. The Bible clearly says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. You'll never have a healing of the land until you have the healing of the Christians. And you'll never have a healing of the Christians until they get the sin out of their life. They get back into the church house, get back to God. We've got to start believing that God is still on His throne. I say to you, our loved ones that were born again when they passed on, their faith became sight. Brother Renner's now seen Him, and today, Brother Renner sees that our God is still on His throne. Brother Kelvington's daddy, who passed just a few weeks ago, Brother Kelvington's daddy has now seen that God is still on His throne. Mrs. Folk, Dan has now seen Him, and Dan knows that God is still on His throne. Mrs. Davis Stephen has seen Him. And he knows that God is still on His throne. Carol Bruffy has seen Him and knows that God is still on His throne. Our beloved Brother Mike Bajan, can you imagine how much fun Brother Mike is having in heaven? Can you imagine him meeting up with bus kids and people that he's won to Christ through the years? Don't you believe for a moment when he got up there, the first thing that Brother Mike seen was the Jesus that he loved, and he seen God was still on His throne. I'm telling you, Al Tanner is in heaven and he has seen that God is still on His throne. I think of Ruth Duke. Many of you would not have known her, but she today has seen that God is still on His throne. Baby Noah Garcia passed away not many weeks ago, a tragic accident. He is in heaven, and Noah has seen. Hey, little baby Noah is probably sitting on God's lap right now saying, look right down there, that's my preacher. And preacher, you're right. Tell everybody, God is still on His throne. I was thinking of Evelyn Shane. God is still on His throne, and she sees Him today. They all gather around His throne and praise His name daily. God is still on His throne, Christian. I may not know everything you need, but I've got the answer. God is still on His throne. It's not the God of your choice. I'm talking about the Jehovah God of this book. God is still on His throne. May I say to you that God is still on the throne and holy living is still the right way. Holy living is still the right way. Listen to this verse, Psalm 47:8. It says, God reigneth over the heaven. God setteth upon a throne of His holiness. God is still on a throne, and that throne is a throne of holiness. Morality, not pornography, is God's way. Sobriety, not drunkenness, is still God's way. God is still on His throne. If you think God is dead and you're living in sin, and you think God doesn't notice it, you're sadly mistaken, my friend. God is alive. God is sitting on His throne. And He said, I am the Lord and I change not. And if it's bad, it's bad. And you need to knock it off and live right, Christian. An eventual kingdom is God's way, not socialism. And God is still on His throne. Virginity at the wedding altar is still God's way. You say, I've already made a mistake. Then you be clean from here on out. But purity is still God's way. Obedience to parents is still God's way. And God is still on the throne. Some of you parents just need to stop and realize they're not to tell you what to do. I know parents that are intimidated by their kids, that if they tell them what they're going to do, the kids are going to rebel against them. Parents have been dealing with that through all of mankind. You're supposed to run the ship, not the kids. Amen. Submission to husbands is still in the Bible. God is still on His throne. Hey, I hate to tell you, but did you know that respect for the man of God is still in the Bible? And God is still on His throne. I like this. A young woman teacher with obvious liberal tendencies explains to her class of very small children. The teacher said, I'm an atheist. She asked her class if they are atheists too. Not really knowing what atheism is, but wanting to be like their teacher, their hands exploded into the air like fleshly fireworks. There is, however, one exception, a beautiful little girl named Lucy. She is not going along with the crowd. The teacher asked her why she has decided to be different. Lucy said, because I am not an atheist. Then her teacher asked, well, what are you? Lucy said, I'm a Christian. And I believe God rules the universe while sitting on a throne in heaven. The teacher is a little perturbed now. The teacher's face is red. She asked Lucy, well, why are you a Christian, Lucy? Well, I was brought up knowing and loving Jesus. My mom is a Christian. My dad is a Christian. So I am a Christian. The teacher's now angry and says, that's no reason. That's no reason. Well, what if your mom was an idiot and your dad was an idiot? What would you be then? And Lucy paused and smiled and said, well, I guess I'd be an atheist like you then, wouldn't I? God is still on His throne. I don't care what laws they pass in the United States of America. God is still on His throne. It doesn't matter to me what other countries do. God is still on His throne. You remember something, no matter what comes in the economy, God is still on His throne. No matter what they accept as morality and immorality in this country, God is still on His throne. God is still on His throne in spite of the attack of Satan. In spite of the attack of Satan. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 13, the Bible says this, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This is Lucifer. Lucifer at one time was an archangel in heaven. And Lucifer one day told God, he said, you know what I'm going to do, God? I'm going to replace your throne. I will exalt my throne above your throne. And just so you know, he didn't get her done. When he raised up against God, God cast Lucifer and one third of heaven's angels out of heaven because of their disloyalty to that throne. Do you know Daniel was attacked and placed in a lion's den, but God was still on His throne? When Satan attacks, God is still on His throne. You know, I'll tell you something, folks. When you look around and it seems like humanly there's nothing that can pull you out, or that the devil's attacked you, and you say, I just don't know where I'm going to get help. Instead of looking around, look up. I've been there. I've been there when I said, I don't know where I'm going to turn. I don't know what I'm going to turn to. And the only thing I knew to do was to look up at my God. And like John did in John chapter 4, I noticed when I glanced into heaven, God was still on His throne. Hey, look, they took the Bible out of the public schools, which I think was a big mistake, but God is still on his throne. Abortion was made legal in America, and the devil is under, the devil sends an attack on America, but God is still on his throne. They had this movement to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses, but I've got news for you. God is still on his throne. They're trying to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, but God is still on his throne. The public school will no longer let us celebrate Christmas holidays. It's got to be called winter holiday. Why? They have no interest in God. And God is still on his throne. And they'll regret it someday. They'll regret it someday. All the boys and girls that die and go to hell because of the absence of Christianity in the public school system. I'm telling you, the day is going to come when they are going to realize they did the wrong thing by turning their back on God. God is still on his throne. You see, this throne of God's, he's still there. He hasn't changed. Nobody's been able to scare him off. God's never put his tail between his legs and ran. What does it mean? God is still omnipotent. And the Bible says, for the Lord God, omnipotent reigneth. You see, God is still on his throne, and his throne says that his book is still the right way. The old time religion is still the right way. Prayer is still the right way. The Bible clearly teaches that those that are in heaven, their faith has become sight, and they see that God is still on his throne. God is still on his throne, and holy living is still the right way to live. God is still on his throne even when Satan attacks and opposes us. But let me tell you something. God is still on his throne, and the lost will face him at the great white throne. The Bible teaches there comes a day that every person that's rejected Jesus Christ as Savior will face him at a place called the great white throne. It says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. You see, the great white throne judgment is not for born again Christians. It's not for us. It's for anybody who has done nothing about Jesus Christ and salvation. Or the ones that did something, they rejected. They rejected. You see, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, then you've rejected him. You say, well, I'm not really rejecting him. I'm just not accepting him. There's no halfway in between on this. You're either in or you're out. You've either accepted the fact that Jesus Christ is a Savior plus nothing minus nothing, or you have rejected him as Savior. You say, well, what about purgatory? There's no such place or no such thing. There's no neutral here. You're either trusting Christ or you have rejected Christ. This great white throne is not for the lost. It's not for the saved. It's just for the lost. It's for the unsaved. And God said there's coming a day, anybody that's never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, they will face him at the great white throne. God is very merciful and God is very patient. For instance, God has me today tell you about salvation. If you walk out of this building and you do not receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, God doesn't owe you anything after that. If you don't get saved and you die out here on Route 11, when you pull out of here and you go straight to hell, you're not going to point a finger at God and say, God, I didn't know. No, you know. You're being told. Anybody under the sound of my voice that has heard the gospel today that rejects Jesus Christ as Savior, if you're snuffed out before the end of this day, you'll die and go to a devil's hell, and it will not be God's fault. You'll face him at the great white throne judgment someday, and you'll burn for all eternity. You say, I don't like that. Neither do I. But I don't have any choice about it. And neither do you. You say, well, I am my own person. I better tell you something. God created you and God is still on the throne. And whatever God says is what goes. God has not turned everything over to you. You may have set your own little throne up in your own little puny mind, but I've got news for you. There's a throne greater than your will. And God sets on that throne. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You say, I don't know that for sure. Then here's what you better know. The Bible teaches that everybody's a sinner. It says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible teaches us there is a penalty for our sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death. But God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to be buried for us and resurrected for us. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're all sinners. We deserve to go to hell, but Jesus made it so we wouldn't have to. We need to turn to Jesus Christ and trust him as Savior. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. Jesus made it so you wouldn't have to. You can't get yourself to heaven. You must accept the gift of salvation paid for by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You ask him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, be your Savior, and that moment, God will come into your heart and save you. And you'll be glad that you did, because someday when you die, you'll open your eyes in heaven. And the first thing you'll see is that God is still on his throne. But if not, your day will come when you will face God at the great white throne judgment. It'll be too late and you'll be cast into hell. That's called old fashioned hellfire brimstone preaching. And God is still for it. God is still on his throne. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question is to you. It's a personal question. Don't look around and don't talk. Don't play. Here's the question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? You say, I'm not sure of it. Then you need to get born again and you need to get saved. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. But I want to take care of it. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to take care of it. But I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not sure. I see that hand. I see another hand. Just say, I'm not sure I'm saved. God bless you. I see that hand in the balcony on the lower floor. You say, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know it, but I don't know it. Pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Who will join these and put your hand up? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I don't know that I'm saved. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I don't know that I'm born again. I don't know that I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. And that's what I need. I see that hand there. God bless you. God bless you. Excellent. Here's what's going to happen. In a few moments, we're going to start what we call the old-fashioned altar call, and God's for it. When we start it, we're all going to stand. The choir's going to sing in just a second. And when we do, those of you that raised your hand and those of you that said, I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. What I want you to do is when we start this altar call, I want you to leave your seat, whether you're in the balcony or on the lower floor. And I want you to leave your seat and you walk toward the front. The men that are sitting on this platform will step down off the platform and post themselves at the end of each aisle. They'll be standing there to serve you. You walk up to one of those men. You say, I want to be born again. And we'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can be sure that you'll go to heaven and you'll never face him at that great white throne judgment where people will be cast into hell. But you'll go to heaven and the first thing you'll see is God sitting on his throne. We want you to be saved. We want you to be there in heaven with us. There's some of you who raised your hand. Some of you did not. But you should have. You come. And so you know what to do. But wait a minute. There's some Christians around here. You've lost your faith in God. There are Christians here. You're going backwards, not forward. Hey, those saints in heaven that look down, would they be pleased with the way you're behaving yourself? I could give you a long list of saints that were faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If they looked down and seen how you were behaving yourself, would they be pleased? Would they say, oh, that's good. I'm glad you're behaving that way. Oh, my friend. God is still on his throne, and more important than what even our friends and family that have passed on think of us is what God thinks of us. Are you backslidden? Are you moving away from God or toward God? Do you pray more or less? Do you do right more or less? Listen, folks, no matter what you're facing, God is still on his throne. The Bible says in the last day there'll come a great falling away. Some of you are living proof of it. You are letting the devil use you as a fulfillment of prophecy that in the last days many people will not be able to endure sound doctrine, and they'll not be faithful, but they'll fall away. There's some of you need to realize God is still on the throne, and you need to get back close to him. You need to get yourself back up close to the God that's still on the throne. We're going to have an altar call. Somebody needs to rededicate their life. Somebody's been saved away from the church property. You need to come and make it public. Somebody that's been saved and baptized by immersion needs to come and join this church. But don't come under false pretenses. We're an old-time religion church. Old time religion, because God is still on his throne and we can't turn back. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time.